Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday, will you do it? And this was related to the thing that has to get done. And here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Anna calling from Seattle.
Hey, Anna. What are you seeing?
Hi. Will I do it? Yes. I'm seeing. I think there's no way around it, I think.
You've gone too far. It's too late now. Too late to turn back. Isn't that good?
Yeah. I want to do it way more, though. Yeah, I feel like life has to hit me over the head harder. So then I will do it all the time. Because I don't do it all the time, but yeah. I mean, I do it like, you know, I record and listen like once a day, pretty much, only, I think, right now, at least. And then when I'm in more suffering places, then I do it more.
Yep.
When I'm going to be at the monastery, then I will get more used to doing it more and more and more.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's easy for the voices of self-hatred to point out that you only do it once a day rather than, I think the voice of wisdom, love, and compassion would say, you do it once a day? That's great, right? Because it's easy to remember a time when you didn't do it at all. Not because you didn't know that it was a possibility, but you just got talked out of doing it. And that point of you do it, and then when you're really suffering, you do it more. I think there's probably not a human being anywhere who, if they had the capacity, wouldn't say yes to that. That's just how it goes. Until we step over that line that we're all approaching this is something I need to do, I should do, I have to do, to this is something I want to do.
Right. I mean, there are always two main stories that ego gets me with. One right I'm in right now, like something, it's kind of something medical, and the issue will get worse if I don't go directly to the doctor. Like it's always something like that, like some symptom, and then I'm really, really worried. Is it something where I need to get medical attention right away, or it will get worse forever? And then another, that's what I'm in right now. And then, it's interesting because I am kind of suffering. I should be.
Yeah, and of course, you're not suffering from the symptom, right? You're suffering from the conversation.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much always the case. I mean, I'm sure if we looked really hard, we could find an exception to that, but I doubt it. And this is where, I know this is not comforting to everyone, but I offer it anyway because I think it is, in fact, the ultimate comfort. And that is that you are going to die.
Yeah.
And the only thing that we have choice about is how. Say what?
And then it's comforting to me somehow.
Yes, because your choice is how. Are you going to die in a miserable, suffering story of what's wrong, or are you going to die in an open-hearted, grateful place with a great big grin on your face? That's the choice we have. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so to take this opportunity, as with every opportunity, to turn to life and let life do the guidance. Let life guide you.
Yeah.
You'll know. You don't need that conversation in your head to scare you in order to act. Life will take care of you. Life will guide you.
Yeah.
Okay. So
okay.
Maybe twice a day in this suffering time. Maybe some reassuring recordings for her to help her not get hooked by those hateful voices and go into dark places of fear.
Yeah. Yes, and warm and kind.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
All right. Thank you, Anna.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Sherry, I'm trying to work out something here, so I'm just going to bring the next caller live. Here we go.
Okay. All right. Good.
You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Renee.
Hey, Renee.
Hi. I just have to say, I'm imagining you all there at the Precepts Retreat in the beautiful weather. Nice to hear. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Related to the question, what dropped in first was yes, right away. And then as I started to just sit with it, it was, is the identity doing it, or is awareness, you know, is life doing it?
Yes, that's coming from should, and you'll need to give it your best shot, and yeah, probably you'll try really hard, or
yeah,
from the heart.
Well, and I've also noticed, in addition to what you just said, that all of that is seeing the right person doing it, and then also there's almost an illusion or delusion of that I did it when I didn't.
Oh.
You know, so it's like there's a lie to myself related to the identity that is doing the right thing all the time, supposedly, you know, but really isn't.
Oh, God, Renee, that is so big.
Yeah, it is, because I noticed early in practice that, and that how I would hear a voice and then there would be behavior related to that lie, you know, that I was being told and believing. And then I still notice it sometimes. And it's just really, even from like teenage years and early adulthood, I had this identity that I was such a good kid. And then I started talking to other people, and it turns out I did a whole lot of worse things than they did. And it was like, oh, wait a minute. You know, it was just interesting. Like, you know, worse, the labels that were put on it, you know. And, Yeah.
Well,
so watching that.
So, yeah, and trust me, you're not alone in this. Okay, that's why it's so big, and why I'm glad you brought it up, because that's how conditioning does it all the time, and if we hear what is actually true, it comes in the form of self-hate.
Right.
So either we're living in that lie of I'm a really good person, and then all of the things that I do that aren't that just go unnoticed, and if awareness drops in that of what how I'm actually being, then that becomes self-hatred.
Yes, you get turned into that.
And
it is big, and it's like I'm watching it all the time, and then I'm not watching it all the time, but when I wake up and watch it, I'm watching it all the time. Like, there it is again. And so, what's interesting,
that's
after
funny,
the
I just saw what you said.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's slippery, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. It's really slippery. And And the thing about it is that I think is the hope, if we have hope, and or, you know, if you practice long enough, then you see it and there isn't self-hate. That's the...
Yes. Yes.
That's the great thing that happens.
Yes. And the door opens to being the way the heart wants to be.
Yes. The door opens to being the way... Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So I regularly am doing things in that place of delusion, that I can be incredibly self-absorbed and well, all of the selfish words that go with that, right? Just all day long while being told that this is part of what makes me a good person. Right? Because I'm paying such close attention because I'm whatever it is. Now, that's us, right? Practicing. There are tons of people who are completely unconscious in all of this. And they're just living in the lie and have no idea that there's anything other than that lie.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when we wake up to the lie and we see how completely self-absorbed we are, then awareness is automatically expanded, right? So we're living in a much larger context now. And so how would a person be who isn't completely self-absorbed?
Mm-hmm.
There's a possibility for us.
Right. Yeah, it's so huge. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. It really is.
Yeah, because it's just slipping away. It just keeps slipping away as I contemplate it as you're talking, and I think I'll record and listen and listen to this again about this, because in addition to the other day when I called last week, it was the same thing. It was kept slipping away, so I'll record them both again.
Yeah, this is where I like to compare it to trying to see a star at night, right? You have to look just to the edge of it. If you try to look at it directly, it disappears. But if you look off to the side, you can see it clearly. And that's how we practice awareness.
Yeah, that's how it feels. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Renee.
Thank you. Have a great retreat, everyone. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Renee. There were two things dropping in for me around that conversation, right, Cherry, that there's a way in which a lie cannot become the truth. The only way for the truth to be is to see through the lie.
Mm-hmm. To basically replace the lie with what is true.
Well, what was dropping in is the self-hate keeps the lie in place because you don't do anything about it. You just feel bad and own the identification. But if you see that as a process, then what you surrender is just that. You don't have to become the truth or search for the truth. The truth is what is when the lie isn't there. So it's just simply, it's one of those lovely things about Zen that's the Zen, it's pointing to something, right? You can't actually create truth. The truth is, you just have to see the process, see through the process of the lie.
Yes. Well, it's the veils again, right? We don't have to search for love. We have to drop the veils that are preventing us from being love. Yeah.
Exactly. So, in the place of within the identity, you've already done something, that notion of how action is also in the conversation and not recognizing that, that's just so powerful. That I don't believe that I do think, I mean, I will get it done. If the identity says I will get it done and the identity is someone who does something, it really doesn't matter whether you've done it or not, because within that world you have.
Until you haven't, and then that becomes the self-hatred, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Ramita.
Hey, Ramita.
In Charleston. Hi, hi. It's fascinating how many perspectives there are on a question like this. I saw so much. Will you do this? Will you do it? Just contemplating that question, I felt the squirming of egocentricity, and sort of like this sense of fragmented parts of myself resisting pulling them together to say yes. And it was like, you know, that's a pattern throughout my life, you know, difficulty making a commitment, or, you know, I mean, it even shows up in scheduling my week. You know, do I really want to write that in ink? I think I just want to write it in pencil. I don't know about that yet.
Yeah.
And that's so funny. You know, will I? It is. It is. And you know,
it is. Just, and yet, it's so true. That's what. It's just such a great image of what we're up against with conditioning. Conditioning wants us to write our whole life in pencil so that it can come in in any moment and say, oh, no, I have a better idea.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, like, what I saw was this sort of effort of coalescing all of these fragments into a wholeness that could say yes.
Mm-hmm.
A wholeness that is yes, that could participate from yes, this is what life is offering. And the fear, again, from egocentric karma conditioning, of being that clearly defined, that visible in the world, to say yes. And then it actually moved into, it's wanting to slip away. Oh, am I willing to do blossoming? Am I willing to do whatever, to be influential in the world in the way that I have the potential? And the answer from the heart is yes, but boy, conditioning has been saying no, because that's it holding me back from being the contribution I can be potentially.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I can articulate clearly what I just saw as you were saying that. The writing it in ink, is something that conditioning resists, but what it's doing in that resistance is writing our whole life in its ink.
Yes, absolutely. That's what
we're not meant
to see.
Right? Yeah, we're not meant to see that in its story of flexibility, we are absolutely controlled and confined.
Yeah, and there's no way for this unique expression of life to manifest itself as long
That's
as
right.
I'm writing in pencil and changing it, or not even willing to put pen to paper.
Yeah.
And you know what happened after that, Sherry? After I'm seeing this, I'm sitting with this, I got this really warm feeling in the center of the belly right around where the third chakra would be. And I thought, willing to do, willing to participate in this moment, be present in this moment, and participate in creating things.
Yes.
Isn't that what goes
yes.
on there?
Yeah. Willing to follow life's lead, right? That's that's what you're actually putting in ink. Right?
Yes.
I am committing to presence, to saying yes to life, to following the wisdom, love, and intelligence that's animating, manifesting each moment. That's what you're putting in ink.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no wonder ego is squishy. It's squishy, squirmy.
I'm working on this. I'm working on compassionate scheduling with my coach. It's one of those things too. You know, ask the universe for assistance, and you're going to get 99% of everything supporting it, whatever that thing is. So I recognize, I can't make my calendar in ink, and it's opening up all of this stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I will.
Yes. What's framed as failure, defeat, something wrong with you, you're lacking in some fundamental way, is actually another one of those doors. But as soon as you turn attention to it and commit to, we were talking last night in group, I was anyway, about being interested. And that to me is what you're demonstrating in this. You became interested in scheduling. What in the heck is going on here? You know, I'm a grown-up, professional, intelligent human being, and I can't make a schedule in ink? What? Yeah. And from that curiosity, that interest, that willingness to go into it, all of this is revealed.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank practice for stepping aside from self-hate, recognizing that, pushing that aside so the door is available and opening.
Yeah. Yes. 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 Woo. All right. Well, thank you, Ramita.
Thank you, Sherry. Have a wonderful retreat. You too.
Thank you. You know, so Danny was supposed to be with us on retreat, and he's sick, so he couldn't be with us. And he did something that we've talked about in these retreats. You know, put a cushion out for me, so that I can be with you in spirit, right? And I think I project there are lots of you out there. We'd have to be making cushions during this retreat if we were actually going to be able to put a cushion out for all the people who are with us in spirit. So,
luckily awareness doesn't take up a lot of space. It's just all of everything. So we're all there.
Right. You all could share a cushion. That's a really good point. All right.
Yes.
Thanks, Ramita.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ramita.
Bye-bye.
Two things dropped in, Sherry. It seems to be the morning of twos. But one about invisible ink.
Oh,
that ego is the invisible ink. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing the fascinating thing that Ramita was pointing to is that the sense of wholeness and how conditioning really fragments us into limited perspectives that war with each other. And that's what our internal experience is the fragmentation. And the resistance to that coalescing into a wholeness is because we identify with all of these fragments of ourselves. And it's a process to recognize the fragmentation as the lie and to be able to come from that sense of being whole, rather than being part of something.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that war, when you mentioned those fragments warring with one another, again, one of those things we're not meant to realize is the war is meant to keep them alive.
Mm-hmm.
Have all the
attention.
Yeah, it's not about somebody winning and one side triumphing or that sort of thing. It's just it's more like small children squabbling.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, it represents an orientation and a state of being. So it denies us an experience of wholeness because all of our attention and awareness is on the fragmentation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 So we miss the wholeness that contains it.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we have time for one more caller, Sherry, so here we go. Next caller,
right.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Laura from San Diego.
Hello, Laura.
Okay, I won't even go into why this is funny, but Okay. I am just loving this call and feeling so supported by every single person. And, you know, in Sangha, it's just really beautiful. So what I saw about this...
Our, Laura, it's our version of Me Too, right?
Yes.
I mean, not to take away from the other original, but it is that Sangha experience of, oh, me too. Yes, oh, me too. I feel that. Oh, yes, that happens to me.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Yes. So this progression of questions has been so fascinating to watch, that ego was right there, basically kind of no. Every question coming from a place of what do you need to get done? Just that aggressive everything, you loser, and just watching the venom that's there and just the way it holds the human in place. And and the beginning of the questions, I was like feeling really disheartened and a little bit like, oh man, yeah, I am such a loser, all of that. And then as we've just gone by day and listening to people talk about it, there was just this ability to step back a little bit more and a little bit more. And and then hearing this morning of like, well, of course I'll the heart will respond to this. And then there's that immediate, but I haven't done it thus far. And just that watching this net kind of encasing this human who really her heart wants to address this issue, and then conditioning just cinches the net tighter.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the realization in that of how invested ego is in keeping a person down. I mean, there's nothing casual about it. Venom. There is nothing. Life can seem sort of casual, right? Mm-hmm. In that sense of, well, okay, sure, you could do that, or maybe you could just meditate, or maybe you could just go for a walk, or maybe how about a day at the beach, given that you're in San Diego, right? And it's ego that is just right there, just teeth clenched and just no.
Right. That's exactly
everything that could possibly bring kindness into a person's life. I just think that's really important to get.
Yeah. So the gratitude of seeing it and what you guys were talking about earlier, which, when Renee said what she said, and then you guys were reflecting, you and Ashwani were reflecting afterwards, I'm like, what? Okay, say that again. I need to listen to that recording because the heart heard it, but the ego is scrambling, right? The scrambler's on.
Yes.
And it was like, it's really beautiful.
And that, to me, this is a slight aside, but not too much. I love it that when we reach a place in practice where we can watch the scrambler attempt to do what it's doing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
that's one of those things. It's doing that all the time. But but we're not meant to see it. And when you can watch it, and the way you just did, watch it with humor, because this is recorded, right? And we can have this conversation again. This is not lost. But I really need to go back and listen to it and record about it and listen to it and record about it, because that scrambler is big and dedicated. It's fighting for its life in this.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm. Because if it wasn't, and that's what I love about, again, hearing this over and over and over and over and over again, is that if it had our backs, it would be like, oh, great, let's get on that one. What's our first step?
Yes.
What do we want to do, right?
Yes.
Let's put the music
yes.
on. Let's do it, right? But it's not. It's just, You know, if I was trying to sell cocaine to, you know, little five-year-olds, I could understand the uproar. But I'm not. I'm attempting to free this human being.
That's right. You're attempting to bring kindness and compassion to a human life. You know, most of the major religions, or the monotheistic religions anyway, have an explanation for what we're up against. And if we just go to the one of there's God, and then there is someone who wants to be God, cannot be God, and therefore hates God. That sounds pretty much like what's going on here, right? There's life. There's something that wants to be as powerful as life. It cannot be. It's in a rage about that, and it's going to do everything it can to mess up whatever it can about life. Feels kind of like what we're dealing with. And so as we get that, as we realize that, the powerful help of that is, I know what that is. I know what it is. We were talking about this in group last night. We can be told it's really hard to go up against that, to get out of that hateful conversation in the head. But if we realize that the whole deal is that conversation, and that our whole well-being, our spiritual opportunity is ending our relationship with that conversation, it makes things a lot clearer.
Amen. Yep.
Yeah.
And there's a cushion there for me, so...
Yeah. I don't have to wonder if it's really on my side, trying to help me, trying to make me a better person, has information for me, is going to save me from some disaster. I don't have to wonder that anymore. It's the devil.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
Go happy.
Thanks, Laura and Sherry. That brings us to the end of another fabulous show. And another fabulous week, I believe. And we have some very, very interesting assignments coming up, the start of which is write a one-page definition of what a relationship is. Record and listen.
One-page definition of what a relationship is. All right. How are we going to follow that one up? Are you going to tell us what we do on Saturday and Sunday, or is that going to be a surprise?
Well, I could tell you now, or I'll tell you on Monday. Basically, here it is. Okay, pick a relationship in your life. What do you project as the definition of relationship for the person you are in relationship with? How are your definitions similar? How are they different? Record and listen. And then it's picture yourself as you are in a relationship. Write and or draw a description. Record and listen.
Okay, one day at a time. We're going to make our way through relationship.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody. Go happy.
Go happy.